with his brother and taking care of him, and pray that the Lord will continue to make him well. Amen. Now, I've noticed that by our children starting the Sunday school, you know, about 10 minutes earlier, then they're able to get out, you know, 10 minutes earlier, and they're getting out about 20 after. So that's putting it a little less strain on the back there of everybody trying to come in and out to do it. And we really appreciate that. Appreciate all of the things that's going on and all like that. Amen. We appreciate it. When is the Dave Ramsey thing going? Starts on August the 5th. It was in July. That's why they're trying to change. And they're getting everything set up to where they can watch the videos and things they have to down in the basement. And Richard was up yesterday working all day on that. We appreciate all these things that everybody does to be able to, you know, have what we need, okay? Any other announcements? I generally miss something somewhere. But just remember that. Brother Richard Wilson, I talked to him this morning. He said to remember Brother Donnie Moore. He's going back to the doctor pretty quick, but he's losing a lot of weight, as much as like 2 pounds a day. And that's not good, but said it was a normal thing to lose weight during the type of operation, with, you know, that he had, the open heart surgery or what you call it, bypasses. But just remember him and keep him in your prayers, okay? Revelations 3. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for the day and the hour that we have, the time that we're here upon the earth. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless us with understanding and give us this day the daily bread that we desire of you. And Lord, help us to walk in the light of your love. We need you so much, Father, and we just pray that you would just show us thy ways that we may walk therein. Forgive our sins. Bless those that are sick among us, because it's a promise. You said you'd send your word and heal us and deliver us from our destruction. So we depend upon you. And Lord, you come down today and Lord, honor your word. You know what we've asked in our heart. So you come down and just deliver the people and take care of everything, Lord. We need you. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a handkerchief. We're running out of prayer cloths, so we got a handkerchief up here today. Now, don't worry about it. It's clean. All right. Figured somebody looked. So handkerchiefs. Yeah, we have handkerchiefs. We carry them in our pockets. We carry them on our body. Well, that's the way the Bible says for to do it. Then we bring it here, and we preach over it. We lay it down. We cut it up, make it into a prayer cloth. So, you know, we'll have to get some of those done today. All right. Revelation 1 through 3. I told them 3. I guess they might have put it up. Okay, they're doing better than I am. I'm getting things messed up. You ought to see us sometimes back there. We're swapping quotes, and I come out and hand them to Terrence, and I can't even another one, hand them another one, because I pass out to some of you that can't see good, and we keep add-ons. Okay. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, trying to, cover some in the book of Revelations. And so just bear with us. If it's not needful for you, bear with us to try to help others and, you know, ourselves to see the Word of God and trying to speak on those things. I heard just this week, too, that I don't know about his family or whatever, but remember Brother Lee Vail passed away during this past week, either Friday or Saturday or something. But he was on up into his 90s and all, but he went to be with the Lord. So just remember the families there. All right. Now, just kind of a little review, because we try to do that on every service, is to back up a little to get it to me, because you know, it just all ties together. Well, it's hard for me to stay here, see, and just jump in here and go on, because I realize the human abilities of all of us that, you know, that it doesn't, a lot of times we need the background of what it is and tie it together, you know, and you just didn't go to school one day and they said 1 + 1 = 2. The next day they said 2 + 2 = 4. The next day, you know, 4 + 4 = 8. They didn't do stuff like that. You know, they kept on with the 1 + 1 = 2, and they kept on until we got that right. Then they moved on up to, you know, 2 + 2. And then that, you know, it takes time in the understanding of the gospel to be able to follow the message, especially to me in this book of Revelations, because what is our whole point? Now, the book of Revelation shows it's the bride's book, and it shows never in a form of Jesus just standing somewhere by himself. He's always with the bride, you know, or in bride form, and things like that. And I hope that would be better for us to understand. And some that are on the internet that maybe have never heard these things, then that would be a good thing to write down. And then just read the book of Revelations yourself. Just read it over and over and over. I invite you to, because that makes it, you know, a lot of people say, well, I wouldn't want to preach to people that know, you know, as much as I do. A man even years ago told Brother Moat, said, if you give them books, they'll know what you know. Well, that's what I want. I want you to know as much as I know, then I don't have to spend so much time backgrounding. I do enough as it is, but I want you to study and things, and then that way you'll catch me if I miss it too. All right. But we covered now how that through the chapter 1, 2, and 3 has been the basis of showing the church, the bride of Christ, as she's up on earth, and her journey through, and we'll pick back up in a minute in something with that, maybe will help us. But then we saw that the rapture comes at the end of the seventh church age. As it's ending up, the rapture will come, and the bride goes up in Revelations 4:1, and not seen until Revelations 19. All right. See, that way the bride does not go through the tribulation. We thank God for those things. And I just gave these to quote, but not to put up on the screen. But Brother Branham says in Revelations, paragraph 24, Revelation of Jesus Christ, that the church goes up in Revelations 4 and not seen until Revelations 19, and then it's Israel from then on. You say, well, that was in his early ministry. I put this in because people out there are listening, and they've got their doctrines and ideas. You know, and some people believe that Brother Branham preached this, and then he changed here. You know, etc. Well, that would have been 1960 in 1204, 1960, the morning service. Well, then he comes over to Feast of the Trumpets that we gave to you, preached in 1964, 719, and he covers how the bride, the church, as he called it, the bride, goes up in Revelations 4 and not seen until Revelations 19. All right. So then we know that this is not covering, as we're reading in the book of Revelations, we went over to the fourth chapter, basically bypassing the church ages because that's self-explanatory, and the message was given to them, and then John is taken up in Revelations 4:1 as a type of the rapture of the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, watch that in a minute. I want to deal with it today in your mind while you're conscious, not asleep, listening to me. This will be the point of today, is to see that, you know, the bride going up in Revelations 4:1, she's not seen until Revelations 19. All right, see, people say, but what about 10:7? What about this? Well, we've covered those things. I don't have the time to go into it. But you go back and listen, you can find it. All right. And then in covering it, we are not a type. Now, Revelations 4:1, now listen to what I'm saying. John goes up as a type, all right? And he sees what he sees, okay? But now, Revelation 4:1 is not a type. It's a reality. It's a literal position. We'll repeat this in a minute over and over to you because that's what I want you to see. That it's not a type. Then we'll get into Ezekiel and see that you can see the journey down through time of Israel and in the church ages. But then John, when he goes up, it's not a journey. It's a set position, the prophet calls it. All right? So then I want that into your mind as you're thinking along with me to think about that what John is seeing now is the bride of Jesus Christ after the rapture. Not a type of the rapture. See, if it's a type of the rapture, it just means something like, you're going to be amazed in a minute, maybe when I get to it. I'll go ahead and make a statement, and then you consider it. When you're dealing with an earthly journey on earth, you can be dealing with cherubims, fine. But reality, the real thing is that you're not dealing with cherubims, you're dealing with reality. All right, when you see it in heaven, in the heavenly scenes, you can deal with cherubims, angels, see? Because we'll find out, and have been trying to study that, even like, what was it? We went through it, of the 24 elders. See, we went through that, you know, of bringing it in chapter 4 there. The 24 elders is the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. That's from Revelation chapter 4. And then on down, even Brother Branham, that was paragraph 74. Then on down to paragraph 293, Brother Branham even says, who is this? And he calls it and says, it is the 12 apostles, 12 patriarchs. There's your 24 elders. All right? Now, they are round about the throne, and I wish you would read that carefully in each one of your readings, and you'll find these beasts, when we get to them later, you'll find that it'll say they're in the midst. And like Revelation 1 shows him standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And the people, as I said, they'll say, well, he was in the first church age, but he wasn't in until the last church age. You know? Well, then you've missed the whole Bible. You've missed what we'll talk about in a minute, the seven spirits of God. You miss all of those things trying to make some super-duper revelation that attracts the attention of the people. You know, all right? See, then we don't need super-duper. All revelation is super-duper. But if it's true revelation. Now, if it's Satan's, there ain't too much super about it, and there ain't too much duper about it. I don't know what that means, but it just don't mean nothing to me. All right? Now, but then we went from that part of the 24 elders, and we picked up that to show that this 24 elders, being, the, as I said, the 12 apostles, the 12 patriarchs, all right, the 12 apostles would cover the church ages, right? The 12 patriarchs would be covering the Old Testament bride of Jehovah, whatever you want to call it, you know, the people of Israel, and their doings and things like that. And it goes up. And then we discovered that it jumps there from the scene of seeing the 24 elders, that it jumps to the point of seeing that this was a throne of judgment. All right? That was in our last kind of the message about verse 5. See that it turns into a throne of judgment, not mercy. So it goes to the white throne judgment. So you got a vast gap between even the basis of John covering the 24 elders, covering the throne, the one, you know, the one on the throne, the different thing. And then jumping over, there's a vast gap which covers all of the Israel and everything, you know, and shows where they come in, the redemption. And you wind up at the white throne judgment with this basis that you're seeing it. All right? Now, so we gave you those quotes from Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 167. Don't pull these up, brother. Just jump on down. We'll pick you up in a minute. We'll get down to number 7. All right? And Brother Branham talks about, said, this is not a throne of mercy. This is a throne of judgment. He said, you can scream all you want to at a throne of judgment. He says, there's no mercy. All right? See, now, you just stand there as is. All right, then he goes to paragraph 307, Revelation chapter 4. We read these over and over. He said that's the bride of Christ sitting on his throne. Now, sitting on the Father's throne. You remember that? Now, where did the Father's throne start? All right. Now, follow this point and you'll catch up on what I'm trying to talk about. If that is the Father's throne, and Brother Run said it was, we haven't got to that because that would fulfill, you know, Revelation 3:21 or what it is, where he said, sit with me in my throne as I've overcome, sit with my Father in his throne. See, right now, Jesus' throne is not in existence. His throne comes into existence right to the basis of where the rapture would take place, and we would be heading from there on through with the bride of Jesus Christ. You can talk about his throne. But really, his throne is the millennial reign, because he's promised the Son of David to sit on his throne in the millennial reign. You'll understand when we get to it why I said tying right into the rapture and going up, because once we go up, what does it matter where we go? We're in eternity. Amen. And see, then it all will be made manifest. But getting it right to the point, see, then that what we're looking at is the Father's throne. All right? Now, I want to ask you a question, because there's a lot today I want to deal with, and I just move as I can. I write down as much as I can, but I just kind of wait to see what happens here. And if I told you what happened about 2 weeks ago, you would probably say, but I didn't know. Okay, I really saw something, because I was wondering where to go. I write down notes. If you notice lately, though, all I've got is quotes. Very few notes. I just write the quotes, put them down, and I'm trying to go from that to one to the other. And, you know, I had a gap in where I was fixing to go, and I couldn't figure out how to get there. So I said, well, okay, I'll just preach till I get there. I mean, I'll just preach up to it. If I don't get there, I'll just cut it off, start another service. Now, don't bother me. I've done that over 40 years now, that I may do that, and it may be 20 years before I start it back up again, you know, on that point. But that doesn't bother me. I don't have no problems. I'm not just going to make that step just because I think I know what's going on. I'm going to be able to tie it into the prophet's message and the Bible, or I'm not going to bring it out. That's just the best way. All right. So then the bride of Jesus Christ sitting on his throne. Well, see, we're not just around the throne. That's what my point is. You talk about a throne, and then you put around the throne. Well, remember, you better be able to at least put 12 of those elders to sitting on the throne, because that is the bride of Christ, right? It's the apostles down through the church, you know, and 12 apostles, right? Now, so you'd have to be able to at least tie that much into, and I caution you to read, it'll always say in the midst. Well, see, how could you draw it? How could you draw even 7 golden candlesticks and him in the midst? I'd like to see that drawn out. Because you're going to put more of it in here than you put over here or something. See, because you'd have to draw the whole entire thing, and you'd have to have it, him drawn over the top of all of it. But it's in the midst. It means he's just as prevalent as he's Hebrews 13:8. He's the same in every age. All right? So it don't mean that he was great in the first age and not too great in the middle and then become great in the end. No, that's his ministry. Well, the ministry that was back there. And then coming over here to the ministry being restored again. All right? See, then you would come to the Alpha and Omega to understand. And you'd see that he is all in between. All right? But the main thing of what we're trying to see is the bride is sitting in the throne with him. Right? Not just sitting on a throne. Be a pretty crowded throne, you know? Be a big old throne. I don't make that as a joke, I just make it as plain sense. See? But to see him in Christ being the throne, the Father's throne, all right? To see all of that and then to look and see us there, that's just showing us where we're at. We're what? We're nothing without him. Right? If it's anything what he done, the Bible said, it is he that, Brother Collins spoke on that years ago, it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Right. See, then in that throne is where we're sitting. All right. But now I want to ask you a simple question. Okay, everybody ready? Simple. I love questions. The Bible says questions gender strife. The prophet said questions makes a strong church. Now, which one you're going to deal with? I know questions that are trippable questions. They ask Jesus questions to trap him. Those gender strife. But when they said over there, would you explain this to us? What does these parables mean? That was not a genderous argument, is what you'd call it. That was not an argument. That was him breaking it down to them because they'd asked him a simple question. See, so then questions makes a strong church. Why? Because if we ask questions, Brother Brown said the question don't come first. The answer comes first. Then the question falls to earth. All right, now, but what I want you to look at today, now, we're not talking about God's mind, so don't get into God's mind with me. Don't get up here, well, God's mind, he saw this, and he saw that in his mind. Just stay with me to get a point, all right? Now, did the throne in heaven develop before the throne on earth developed in the heart of man? Well, it's all the same time. Now, you're talking about the mind of God. Now remember, when John saw this, was about AD 95-96, right? All right. Brother Branham in the seal book said, we're seeing what happened in glory about 2,000 years ago. All right. So John on Patmos, AD 95 and 96, he's taken up into the future, yes. And he might not have comprehended totally what was going on. So he gave us the types and the shadows, you know, the symbols. All right. But remember, the kingdom had already come into the heart of John, or he couldn't go to heaven to see anything. Paul wasn't taken up to the third heaven while he was over there killing all of them Christians. Come on, get your story right. Is after Paul become converted, could he be taken? It was after John become converted, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, see, on the day of Pentecost, could he be able to be taken? And notice, too, God didn't take some of the others that were not listed as the upper room experience. Right? Because God don't use a novice, you know, a baby, a child in the gospel to write his gospel. Because he don't know how to write. Right? He uses somebody that's anchored. Looked like he'd use Peter, because Jesus is speaking a lot of times to Peter. But Jesus never has to rebuke John. We'll get into one of these days with the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, etc. And you can go through your Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See, Matthew would be the lion, Mark is the ox because of the symbolics through the book of Mark. And then Luke, being a wisdom, smart man, is the man. And then John is the eagle. If you want to go prophetic, go read the book of John. It's more prophetic than the other gospels. And then he's chosen to go up and write the book of Revelations. Matthew, Mark, and Luke wasn't chosen. John was chosen. All right, so get the point now, what we're trying to bring. So then John is not seeing something new. John knows what has happened on earth. As I said, maybe he didn't understand all of it. That's all right. But yet, the Father's throne, I've kept on that and over it to make sure it stays in your mind. The Father's throne was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that came on the day of Pentecost, right? Now, I've read that to you, showed it to you through the message. The Father's throne was the baptism of the Holy Ghost that came on the day of Pentecost. Right? That's why Jesus said, you'll sit with me and as I have overcome and sit with my Father. See, he went straight up on the throne, but what happened? The Holy Ghost came back to start on the church here, and identically the same thing as what would be there. All right. So now what you're looking at, if you look at it correctly, you'll look at the church ages and see that God has been traveling down through the church ages. All right? He's been in travel. All right? Now, in doing that, you'll see that the throne of God began in the heart of man. The Father's throne began on the day of Pentecost in the heart of man. All right. Now, sure, we look at the positive. Look at the partial realization compared to perfect realization. Right, okay, fine. And you can say, well, John went up and saw, but what did John go up and see? John went up and saw what would take place during the ages of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? Simple. John went up and saw what would happen on the earth through the ages. All right? Now, in doing that then, see, we better get our mind down here to where we're at. Now, I've preached before to you, and you know it. We've got to match what's there. Yes, that's true. But if you just keep your eyes on what's there and don't see what's here, I'm sorry, there's not much to go to there, if that's all you can do. So let's deal with what we deal here on earth to see that God started his kingdom on earth in the soul of mankind. And then when this is completed on earth, when this new birth, this baptism of the Holy Ghost, this stature of a perfect man, adoption, etc., the things the prophet spoke of, that Jesus Christ become invisible among us, etc. All right? Then there can be a rapture. As I said, won't be a type. If you ain't careful, you'll be typing something. We're not a type of the new birth. We have it, the new birth. We're not a type of eternal life. We have eternal life. Your soul is just as eternal as it'll ever be by the new birth. The body and spirit, yes, is waiting for that to be done, and that's what he's working on. All right? But get that in your mind and keep it there. See, we look over there and we see something. But remember now, that can't be there unless this is here. You know? And it means it has to take place on earth. And I was thinking this week, because that's what I try to do, is just let my mind maybe, you know, I know what it is, idle minds or devil's workshop, so I guess that's right, but mine's not in Walmart. It's chilling in the bean field, doing something, you know, taking care of the cattle or horses or something. All right. But see, I like to just think about where we're at and what we're doing. What does all this mean to us? There's no need of preaching what we will be until we realize what we are. See, when we realize what we are, then we can think about what we will be. But don't worry about it. When we realize what we are, we will be. All right? Because that's what's taking place. All right? So then, looking at it as seeing it, see, when redemption is finally over here. Now, I'm asking you a simple question to get a simple answer. Are we trying to go to heaven? Or are we trying to bring heaven here? Now, I've said this over and over and over, about 8,432 times, I guess. We spent 6,000 years trying to prove there's a God in heaven. He spent 6,000 years trying to prove he's down here. All right. There is a heaven, right? We believe in it. There's a bride. There's a rapture. There will be a heaven to go to, yes. But if that heaven is not in reality here upon earth, in the bride of Jesus Christ, there is no heaven to go to. So we are actually building. But Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Brother Brennan said, that's soul. That's new birth. All right. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where did he go? He ain't up there with hammers and nails. Now, the body's up there. But he went up, come right back down in the heart, preparing you and I. We're going to identically match that city. Or we don't go to the city. That's all I'm trying to get us to see here. But we're going to match the city here. This is not one of those things. Boy, it's going to be great when we get there, because it's really going to change things. That's been our idea for 2,000 years in Christianity, trying to make those things come to pass. Won't work. Why don't we just settle down and realize God is right here working on you and I. One day we will go there. But see, our problem is we want to try to think about ourselves already being there. We won't be there until the rapture comes. Remember, John was a type of the rapture. Not a type of 2,000 years before rapture. It was a type of the rapture. He went up. See, one day we can't type it. We're going to have to go up. But to do that, it's going to have to match here exactly. That's why the new birth is the most important thing in your life. Mm-hmm. See, then we're not going to have a state of appeal when we get there, you know. It's going to be here. That's why I told you years ago, and I may be the next one to pass on, but I told you this 30 years ago, and I don't have to back up. Probably might even be 40. That most of the people in this message are not going to be able to stand there for that last moment to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So we're going by the grave. And we have to be, what Brother Dick says, come down to that basis of being waiting on somebody else. We might be standing here and them waiting on us, but we die, we're there waiting on somebody else to pull us out. You say, well, old age is doing that. God's let people live 150 years old. There's people in the world today, 114, or the oldest one, like 114, I believe that's right. You know, that'd be a long ways for me. Yeah. But now listen, church. What we want to do is, see, we come up in the message and we heard it because we never thought about these things until we come in the message. And then when we did, we begin to look up and see something. And that was wonderful. But why not deal with where we're at? Why not be concerned with where we are here? See? And then you'll see that John taught the rapture. Now, can I make a quote that is not a quote of Brother Branham's? Not only did John type the change of the body and the going forth, you know, the things, he just called a rapture. The prophet doesn't use it as a change of the body. He uses it as a translation or something. But you know that John was also a type of every believer down through the ages. Are you with me? John was a type of every believer that will ever go in the rapture. Now, don't try to find that in Brother Brown's message. That's a Dale quote, okay? And I don't mind saying it. But sure does sound good to me. Because if not, you just got John typing one thing. No. He was type of all the bride and her journey down through time and then her journey up to the point of being changed. That's why he had to have the man like he did to do it. Okay. Now, so think about it. When redemption is over, the throne of God on earth and the heart of man will be identically the same position here on earth as it is there in glory. All right? No problems, right? Now, so let's get to something, because this is going to help us for the next two or three messages. Now, let's read number 7, brothers, in the quotes, because I told them, I said, this evening, boy, it's going to be worse than ever. We're going to read the entire book of the entire fifth seal this afternoon. You're going to read off the screen, but not all of it. We won't take that long. Okay. But look what your prophet has to say here. Because we've come up, we better read that to where we can tie it all together. So let's read number, let's read verse 5 of Revelation 4, verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightning, thunderings, and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits. All right. Now, we will be back to Ezekiel in a minute to pick that up to match it. But I want to approach it in a way to where that you can understand what I'm trying to say about these lampstands. We could go through all of the story of it, but what does the prophet have to say? This is taken from Revelation. If I was you, I'd read Revelation chapter 4. There's about 4 parts of it. It's a separate book. All right. Now, but this is where 61:101, Revelation chapter 4, part 2. Reflecting the light of God into the church. Now he's talking about the burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, we know there's not 7 spirits of God. We won't have to try to deal with that as much. But we will be dealing with it in here, because there's not 7 spirits of God. It's the spirit of God in 7 messengers bringing it. But it's really the spirit of God in 7 church age peoples bringing forth God. And Brother Branham said it's not 7 spirits, no more than Paul when he covers the works in the spirit and a different thing. You know, the manifestations are in Corinthians. It's all of the same spirit. So it's not 7 spirits. Right? Reflecting the light of God into the church, right, straight from the throne of God. Not through a seminary, not through some bishop, but from the throne of God. Now remember, you remember the other day when I was trying to preach on it, when I said that I was certainly glad that over in the Bible there that it didn't say that when, who was it? Laid down and he saw the throne open. And Jacob, all right. And the angels were ascending and descending. It doesn't say descending, ascending. That's totally reversed. This thing's not that away. This thing is here. All right. The angels were going from Jacob, taking his offering up to God, and then bringing back the rewards to Jacob. Right. So keep that in your mind, what you're talking about. See, he's talking about the light of the reflecting here. Where from? But from the throne of God. How? By a revelation of the power of his resurrection, making him the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the 7 stars standing there reflecting that light, the Shekinah light, from the Shekinah glory, from the holiest of holies, 7 lamps on fire, sitting on top of these candlesticks, reflecting the light, his colors, of his power, of his resurrection, right into the church. Now, you know what each of that's, you got your candlesticks, and then you got the light of each one. You know how each one was lit? It was originally lit from the altar of God. And then you lit number 1, then you would light number 2 from number 1, and number 3 from number 2, etc. Coming all down, because it's all from the same. All right, now watch him. We won't be over there dealing with the beast, but I've got to get this to you where you'll see it. And he covers the scripture. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and round about. Now, remember? In the midst of the throne, and round about. Now draw that for me. How can something be in the midst and around about? It's just all there. It's all, the whole thing's him. If he's in the midst of it, it's just everything there's him. Whether it's round about or the throne or whatever it is, that's what I'm trying to get you to see. And it's right here in our hearts is where all of this is taking place. All right? You say, well, how can you get all them beasts and them 24 elders? Remember, your salvation, whether you want to agree or not, came from the Jews because they turned it down. So the 24 elders, the 12 patriarchs brought the salvation to us. The 12 apostles is telling us about the salvation. See, so it's all the revelation of Jesus Christ where he's at. He's right here in you and me. All right? So that's what all this is talking about. Sea of glass and crystal in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. All right. Now remember, we're dealing with lamps. Lamps. All right. But watch. And he goes ahead and he begins to give this. These beasts. Now, you're going to have to tie it together while I'm using the lampstands, the things together with the... Because the lampstands and all of these things is the church, right? All right. Now he's covering beast, but look what he's tying it back to. He's already brought the reflecting of the light of the shine of glory. Now he covers what? And he goes ahead and he begins to give this, these beasts, the same thing Ezekiel saw. Them guards. One like a man, one like a lion, one like an eagle. What was it? And watch. When we bring them in and show that lion of the tribe of Judah and all of those different ones out of their tribes that sat on four walls and they were guarding this mercy seat. Oh, what a picture. There's great days ahead. Now, let's go to Ezekiel. Because he said Ezekiel, the same thing Ezekiel saw. Now remember, lampstands, seven lampstands, candlesticks, everything. But Ezekiel sees it. The same thing. Are you with me? Ezekiel sees the same thing. Go ahead and pull up Ezekiel now. And look. All right. I just chose 4 through 16. You need to read the whole thing. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding. I like that too. Itself, not unfolding, it's enfolding. It's coming inward. And a brightness was about it. This Holy Ghost in me can go out that way, but I love for it to come this way. You know, I enjoy it trying to help you, but I enjoy it coming this way. I enjoy the enfolding. All right. And the brightness was about it. Out of the midst thereof was the color of amber. Out of the midst of the fire. Now there's still the lamp stand set fire. All right. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces and every one had four wings. It was the likeness of a man. In other words, it was upright. It was doing. It wasn't likeness of a beast or a cow or a horse or it ties together with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in here. All right. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the soles of their feet was like the sole of the cast foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Raise them up. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. Now draw that. Four of them. Each one looking in different directions, and they're going straight. Each one of them is going straight ahead. Can you explain it? Draw it. The further they go, the further away they get. All right, we're going to see what that all means. As for the likeness of their face, they had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had the face of an eagle. So there's your lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. All right. Now watch. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward, two wings. All right. To save all of the reading Drop it on down to the 16th. We'll see what it is, and everybody ought to know this verse of what it is. What? And the appearance of the wheels, now these living creatures, they're moving. But look what it is. And the appearance of the wheels and their works was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of the wheel. All right. Everybody knows the song, Wheel in the Middle of the Wheel. See? What is it? The little wheel runs by faith. The big wheel runs by the Word of God. Wheel in the middle. Wheel way in the middle of the air. Now, do you know what that means? Do you know what it means, or the wheel in the middle of the wheel? Some are saying yes, and some are saying no, and some are saying, I don't know. See, it's got two things. Ezekiel is describing two things. The wheel in the middle of the wheel is Jesus Christ. We know that. Simple, right? And you put it in the heart of man, it's in the new birth. Simple, right? All right. But he's describing what's taking place. Now, I want to read this to you in just a second. He's describing what's taking place. All right. Now, you got all these beasts, you got all these things, and you know what that all means when Ezekiel first saw it. He's describing two things. He's describing Israel, and he's going to describe the bride. So we're going to get both of them, right? Okay. Ezekiel is describing the wheel in the middle of the wheel. The beast. Their doings. You know what that is? That's Israel in their journey through the wilderness. Now we're going to read where the prophet says this in a minute, all right? So all of these symbols and all of these things, what is it? It's Israel and their journey. I remember when I first read that, I used to read that and wonder what it is. Don't we all try to figure out that wheel in the middle of the wheel, way in the middle of the air, you know, and we'd all say, well, that was Jesus Christ. We could figure those things out a little bit. But we couldn't figure out why all these combat beasts and all these appearances and what they was doing and all that. Well, that's just symbols that we don't understand. When that prophet said it, he said, that's Israel in their travel. I shouted. But I knew it was Christ in Israel and all of their journey. I could read that. Not Jesus the flesh, Christ was there to lead the children of Israel as the pillar of fire of the things that were there. And there to be with each one of those men that would conquer nations, etc., and things would happen. It was Israel and their journey. Right. Let's just read that. Go ahead with it. I didn't give them a number, but I gave some of you a 7A. But go to Revelation chapter 4, part 3. And let's just read this. And there's your living creatures, there's your Ezekiel that we've just read. That's what he's reading coming down, Ezekiel. Okay? Now he's going to explain it. So he said, what's the symbol there? What's the symbol here, Brother Branham? What is it? It means that these guards was God's ark. They were in journey, rolling on wheels when Ezekiel saw them. Rolling on wheels, the journey of Israel was what Ezekiel was describing. Right? Now look, they were in journey, rolling on wheels when Ezekiel saw them. But when John saw them, watch it, they had already come into their right position in heaven, 4:1. Or 4, really 4:5. Right? The ark of God was on earth, rolling on wheels, as they took it from place to place. I mean, it was in travel. They took it all the way through the wilderness and all the way into the temple and so forth. But now it's received up because the church age is over, and it's received up into glory, see? It's stationary now in heaven with all the angels and things around it. We find them after a while taking off their crowns and the guards of the temple. Now, we'll get to that later. But I want you to see that Brother Branham was the one that was tying it together. He said, he was talking about the lampstands and all. He said, Ezekiel saw the same thing. Okay. Now, here's the catch of what I want you to get. Ezekiel saw the journey of Israel and described it as wheels turning on like a cart, you know, like an ark, and being pulled by animals and being, but he really saw the travel of Israel. Right? He saw them on journey on earth. And he called them living creatures. All right? But see, once the symbols broke, you see, he was looking at the travel of Israel. It's like Ezekiel saw, I believe it's right, Ezekiel saw fire falling down out of heaven. He saw the end time with atomic destruction, didn't he? Like Naaman saw chariots jostling in the street, running like lightning. He saw cars down here running forward with headlights on. He thanked God for the prophet in bringing the symbols. But now remember what he said. Ezekiel saw the journey of Israel. All right. John saw it after it's reached its position in heaven. But then you can see the wheel in the middle of the wheel is what? It's been the journey of the bride of Jesus Christ down through seven church ages. We'll get to those combat beasts later and bring it out. And bring it out even to show Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the main thing I wanted you to get was what he said. Ezekiel saw the journey of Israel while on earth. John, in the fourth chapter, sees it already taking its place. But what about your journey and my journey? What about our wheel in the middle of the wheel? The wheel in the middle of the wheel to Israel was Christ, right? What about our wheel in the middle of the wheel? What about our journey that we're traveling? What about what we're doing now? See? Changing from mercy seat to judgment seat. Changing to show us the seven lampstands. Jump on over to quote number 10, brothers. We'll leave out all of these others. Number 9 covers that it's the day of mercy is over, and it's covering when the church is raptured, the mercy seat becomes a judgment seat. When we go up, mercy is over for the Gentiles. Mercy seat will automatically become judgment seat. So let's don't spiritualize us getting there so much. Let's take the journey we're in. Let's take these lampstands as we read a while ago. Revelation chapter 4, part 3, paragraph 125. Seven lamps. Let's draw a little bit here, the throne, the holy place, the congregation. And right here was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven stars, seven lamps, seven messengers, seven spirits. Not altogether meaning that God is in seven spirits, but seven manifestations of the same Holy Spirit. Now, church, we're doing our journey now. We're in the journey Ezekiel saw of Israel, which was a type. Israel in journey was a type of our journey. We're not in a type. We're the antitype, right? We're in reality. They didn't have the new birth in the Old Testament. They didn't have the seal of God in their soul by the new birth. because they could only type what you and I are doing. So if Ezekiel saw Israel in journey and described it with all these combat beasts and all these lights and perfections and the thing, what about God and what he's seeing of the little bride? She's been traveling down through seven church ages. She's been in journey, and God's been with her. Pleased to dwell, he said. You know what? He's just as pleased to dwell with Luther as pleased to dwell with you. You might not like that, but that's gospel truth. No, I'm special. I'm right next to the throne. Well, all right, if you're right next to the throne, if you're the seventh one, let me be carnal for a minute. He said he was in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, because that put him in the first, in the what church ages would he be in? That would put him here more than he is with you. So you better back up on what you're saying. You see how people want to run around and make all kind of statements? Oh, he's here now. That wasn't nothing back there. Man stood right here and said it years ago. Big man in this message. And he said, the prophet said Luther and Wesley and Pentecost was false. I had done challenged him on that down at the schoolhouse at Guildford and asked him for the quote. I said, Brother Branham said he was in every church age. He came on right up here. It didn't change his mind. Of course, he couldn't preach error anyway, so my saying something to him wouldn't change him. He came right on here and he preached, and he said that Luther and Wesley and Pentecost was false. Well, I don't agree with that. And like I said, if you're going to be the natural carnal with statements, then if he was in the midst, that means he was more back there in Luther and Wesley than he is here now. And people don't realize what they're doing. But people that are listening don't realize what they're listening to. Oh, ain't that something? Luther and Wesley then was false. Brother so-and-so said they was. Well, I don't give a hoot what Brother so-and-so says or what I say. It's what the prophet of God had to say about it. And we know what the prophet of God had to say about it comes from God. Of course, now they're all trying to show Brother Branham was so wrong. Yeah. All of his errors and all of these things, yeah. Go ahead. It's got to be, there must needs be heresies among you today that are proved, may be made manifest. We just keep walking on with the truth. Seven lamps is what? The seven spirits of God. The seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit down through seven church ages as our journey was taking place. See, John sees it already in heaven. We read that. Ezekiel saw while they was on earth there, and he sees our journey. Isn't that something? I mean, it don't stir your heart to think that a prophet would be brought to us to tell us these things. When somebody else said, well, I think that really means here, you know, I think that wheel means this, and that this means that, and that goes there, and that means this, and them beasts, and all these things, and don't even know there's two different types of beasts in the Bible in the book of Revelation. We'll get to that this evening. One of them is a Zoon, Z-O-O-N. That's the correct one. The other one is T-H-E-R-I-O-N, I believe is the way you spell it, Theron beast, which means untamable, unconverted. You can't tame them. You ain't going to change them. You ain't going to change the people of this message. I hate to say it, it seems like hard sometimes maybe for the Holy Ghost to even convert them. I don't mean that wrong now. I believe the Holy Ghost can change anybody, right? But if we don't voluntarily get in there and do what's right, he ain't going to make us change. And we could wind up being the Theron. Like I told you, brother here preached, I saw myself as a white horse rider. He said, then I got converted. I said, brother, if you're the white horse rider, you're the Antichrist, which means a Theron beast. And you can't be converted. That didn't change his ideas. But you see, church, what are we? Do you understand when Ezekiel was asking you, do you understand the wheel and the middle wheel? Some of you did, some didn't. All right. But the ones that said you did understand it, what did you see it? This is the wheel in the middle of the wheel being Jesus Christ. You know that Jesus Christ was back there in their journey, leading the children of Israel. I'll send mine angel, he'll go before thee. I'm quoting scripture. And my name will be in him, and you better mind him, in other words. And Brother Brown said, I used to wonder who could tell God a better way of doing something there in Moses. He said, I found out it was Christ in Moses. There was your wheel in the middle of the wheel that led right up to Calvary. But then it started in the church ages. And remember what I was saying to start with? We got to be able to see here what's there. It's being developed here. God's throne is being made here in the heart of mankind. Well, brother, I just see myself there. I don't worry about them deep things. I just see myself there. Where? Well, Brother Branham said he's seen me. Yeah, he said he's seen people in hell also. I ain't mean. That's truth. He's in both places and seen people. You see, that's where people just say, well, that's why we've been here 40-something years. See, the reason we've been here 40-something years is for the bride of Christ to try to get anchored in the Word. And to get worse, you won't be blown by these little sissified doctrines. I told you 40 years ago when the two souls and those doctrines were out, first starting. I said, you think that's deceiving? I said, this ain't deceiving. I said, because they can't even quote correctly. You remember the two souls? Well, the soul was just the nature. Go read the book. It doesn't say that. Soul is the nature of the Spirit. Don't even use the word just. They can't even quote. But I said, there'll come a time when they'll be using Brother Branham as quotes to prove their point. Look at them now. Well, brother, that brother, he gave 24 quotes. All right. Amen. Brother Branham said it. But what's the truth? Like a man said to Brother Dick one day, because Brother Dick said he agreed with what I said. He said, do you understand what he's talking about? He said, explain it to me in your words. Something like that. He said, put it in your words. You know, if you can't put this message in your words, you're just quoting what somebody else says. And is that what the scripture says? No man can call Jesus the Christ except it be by personal experience with him. The seven lampstands, what are they? In the message called Patmos Vision, we won't pull these up, I'll just read a few, just quote a few of them. Patmos Vision, which is actually page 50, Church Age book, it's a wonderful type of the Holy Ghost in the seven church ages. The original outpouring of Pentecost, which outpouring came direct from Jesus on the mercy seat, is enduring his church through all the seven ages, and showing forth perfectly that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, so we'll just say a few words and we'll quit. So if you notice that when I was trying to bring Revelations 4:1, and I said that all of this was showing the bride of Christ, but then when I came to Revelations 4, about 5, or 4:4, I guess, I had a gap there. Because it jumped from mercy to judgment. Now, come on. As I write, am I getting the scripture right where it comes to the fourth verse? That it turned to thunders and lightnings, etc. The prophet said this is judgment. Or 4:5. Right. You see, we can look up there right now, and I believe redemption is not over yet. Right. See, people said that in 1963. I told them in, I said, according to my Bible, redemption and the prophet, the redemption was over before the foundation of the world, if that's where you're going with your carnality. because my Bible said Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But see, they thought in 63 something happened. I agree something happened in 63. I agree 100%. It was wonderful what happened there, because God brought us the word through a man and brought his message. But you see, when you first look at John on Patmos, remember, he's seeing this as it's happening. Now, are you listening? He's seeing this as it's happening on earth, because it's got to compare. But when it comes to thunder and lightning, there ain't no bright on earth. And you know that he's on the mercy seat? And you know that what you're seeing in Revelations 4:1 through about 4 is still, he's on the mercy seat. Revelations 4:5, I think, is where it says thunders and lightnings and that. Let's make sure. Let's just read that. It'll be 4:5, yeah. And out of the throne proceeded the lightnings, and it becomes a judgment seat. You better hope it's not to that place. Because judgment will be over for the Gentiles at the rapture of the bride of Christ. So if that's already the judgment seat, we're in problems because we're still on earth. No, we went up 4:1. Could that revelation, could that be that John was taken up as a type? What your prophet said? Could it be that in the bride of Jesus Christ is the throne of God? You see, when redemption's over, the only thing that's going to take care of you and I is the fact of what's inside of us. Because redemption's going to be over before we leave this world. That's what scared the people to death when Brother Brown preached Anointed Ones to End Time, souls in prison especially. They kept saying, is it over? He said, I really don't know. Well, you know, there's only one reason that I know it wasn't over in 63. Because I wasn't born again then. I didn't get born again in 1969. How many of you was born again after 63? Well, you know, that's a good reason to believe that it wasn't over in 63. You know, that's the way I believe. I'm just, that's honest. That's, you say, well, God ain't going to change nothing for you. No, he ain't going to change nothing for me. But why would people believe redemption's over when your prophet would still give altar calls? And why would he say those people that are received the baptism of the Holy Ghost after 63? You see, it's all in a doctrine. Why would you think that your children couldn't be saved because they didn't get saved before 63, but you did? What kind of a spirit is that? Like I always told you, there was a doctrine over in South Carolina that this man started a doctrine and she wasn't supposed to live with your wife anymore. All that was over with. He's 80-something years old. Not making a joke. Truth. People that said redemption's over 63, you better believe they got saved before 63, right? But why wouldn't you want it for anybody else? I didn't open redemption, and I cannot close it. But God one day will close it, right? See, then Revelations 4, it'll become a judgment seat because it's no longer mercy. When the bride reaches that place, redemption will be over. And she manifests her part upon earth to be what she's supposed to be. redemption will be over. Nobody will be saved after then except Israel, 144,000 Jews later on in the tribulation. There ain't no foolish virgins to be saved in the tribulation, as we were taught by organized religion that teaches that 3.5 years minor, 3.5 years major. And they think that's what Brother Branham taught about it, but he never did. He said it's only 3.5 years tribulation. But that's the organized religion. They think you get these movies that's all left behinds, et cetera, and all of these you watch in the movie, their point. The rapture goes up, and then over here these people are getting saved. They may be running them down and killing them, but they're getting salvation some way. That's their whole point. You don't make it one way, maybe we'll make it another one. You ever heard people say that? I'm sorry, I don't have no second thing. I'm up number one or I ain't going to be. You know what I mean? I'm either going to be the bride or I'm going to be lost. I've always told you, and I know it wasn't liked here because some made remarks about it. I always told you. I quoted Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, if I'm going to be an Antichrist, I want to be a good one. You know that quote's real? And you know that's what I said? I said, if I'm going to be a deceiver, I want to be a good one. So you're going to better be in it. You better. And one fella said, I don't want. One person here said, I don't want that being told to my people. I just told you what Brother Branham said. He said, if I'm going to be an Antichrist, I'm going to be a good one. But if I'm going to try my best to help this bride, it don't matter to me whether I go to hell or not. All I want to do is help somebody to see Jesus Christ. That's my goal, my desire. What makes you preach, Brother Dale, in the line of all the things I'd have quit 30 years ago? But I want to see people saved. I want to see you there, whether I make it or not. I want to see my children. I want them to have an opportunity to hear the truth. I want my grandchildren to have an opportunity to hear the truth. I want my great-grandkids now. And I got a whole lot of adopted ones sitting out there that I want you to see the truth. But to think that God would show Ezekiel the travel of Israel and show it in symbols and things, and people would wonder what that is. See, our journey and travel down through seven church ages, through these combat beasts, that's our traveling journey. I'm not worried about what's in heaven. Right? I want to see what's down here. Then when I go up there, then, hey, that'd be wonderful. But what about it, church? This is either Christ or nothing. Because you're in a day whether we're either Christ or we're Antichrist. There is no white black bird. There is no white black dog. There is no good sinner saint. Right? We're either Christ or we're Antichrist. You know, we make the choice. Come on, brother. We make the choice of what it's to be. It can be Christ in you, the hope of glory, or we can be the Antichrist. See? Lampstands, all of these things, represents the bride of Jesus Christ. But see, we want to go up to heaven to see it. I want to see it here. I want to see the manifestations that I told you the other day, where they said when we first came in the message, you know, doctrine was around. We don't need manifested sons. They're going to be in the millennium. And I'm not kidding you now. This was doctrine. We don't need manifested sons. We got the doctors to go to. We got all these things. We're going to have manifested sons in the millennium. Well, I finally found where the prophet of God said, we don't need manifested sons in the millennium. We need them now. You know, that didn't change anybody. I never heard one person, I'm truthful, I never heard one person say, I was wrong, and that quote straightened me out. Not one. Because you see, we're either theorons or we're Zoom. Because we're all beasts. Which we're either Christians or we're lost. The book of Revelation shows the beast. Four combat beasts. There's four beasts to take us down, right? What are we going to do? We have the choice. Well, I just don't understand. I don't understand. Why? Because it's simple. Ezekiel saw Israel in journey. All them types and all them things is you and I in journey. All of these things we're talking about. The throne of God starting on earth in the heart of man by the new birth. We'll one day go there and be that throne. But is it that we're going to go there? Yes, where we looked up wrong. I thought that we meet Jesus in the air. I didn't know we met him on the throne. See, we try to figure it all out. Brother Brown said even that lamb that took the book, he said it was back behind or in the throne, come forward, come around in front and took the book, climbed up on the throne and sat down. 26, I believe it is, souls in prison. I know it's in souls in prison. He climbed up on the throne and sat down and said, become the one on the throne. You see, we're trying to figure all that out. Just think about what's taking place in your own life. You know that God is trying to become on a throne in your heart and my heart, right? You know we're the ones that's keeping him off the throne. It's not our stealing and gambling and running around, this, that, and the other. No, no, no. It's our little things. Just our everyday life. Think on these things. Let's stand. What we got, brother?
204. 204 in the spiral book.
204 in the spiral book. Anybody have a need?
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eyes.
Anybody have a need?
Forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And
anybody
I look
me
upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be.
Need in his heart. And we pray that you would just bring forth that need and finish it up. That everything will be right for what he's asking about. Because we believe you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
On a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face.
Jesus, you heard our little sisters that got a problem with her eye, Lord. We just ask you to take that away, Lord. On the basis of your word and the message that we preach, we pray that you'll bring forth this manifestation. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Anybody else? On that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Oh, the day. You're dismissed. Do the service this afternoon. Jesus, I shall see. And I look.
And he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain. No more parting over there, and forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. And he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. And I look upon his face, the one who saved.